Words from the Gospel reading for today. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near, is here. About 4 years ago, one of our parishioners, Hazel Perkin, who was our reader this morning, came up with the idea of placing a map of the world in the narthex. And if you're new to the parish, as you enter, on the right side, as you enter, you'd see a map of the world. And what was suggested is that we all be encouraged to place a pin on the map to indicate our place of birth. And if you look at that map, you'd notice pins dotting pretty much all around the world. And if you have not yet done so, if you're feeling new to the parish, please take the opportunity. Hazel is always well equipped with pins, and pins of various colors. So please take a pin and place it on the map when you leave the sanctuary this morning. It's an invitation. Now, many parishioners have done just that. But it is fitting to note that although that we have origins in different parts of the world, we are all one in Christ. And today, as we give thanks to God for our country, our earthly home, we are reminded of who we are as Canadians of different origins. For across this great land of ours and around the world, Canadians have marked and are still marking Canada Day in our own ways. But you have chosen to be here for worship and for fellowship today, to continue this celebration. And so we offer thanks to God for all we enjoy as Canadians. And we set aside the time today for the church to remember and to celebrate the source of all gifts. I would imagine that our path to Canadian citizenship might vary based on our individual circumstances. Some were born into citizenship, like my children, who were both born right here in Toronto. But my path to citizenship was a little different because I was born elsewhere. What's your story? What's your story? One thing we realize when we travel abroad is the value and importance of a passport. As we enter and leave a country, we need to be able to show our passport for identification purposes. And that passport is tangible proof of our citizenship, the place we call home. And this is a significant part of our identity. For Christians, we generally think of our baptism as a common identifier of our membership as part of God's kingdom on earth, the body of Christ, the church. But beyond our baptism, think about what else would identify us as Christians. Perhaps some of us might wear a cross, one of the symbols of our faith. Perhaps we might be identified as Christians by the way we act or by the decisions we make. But here are some ideas about the relationship between our national identity and our citizenship in God's kingdom. And I'm sharing with you a short excerpt from the work of Dr. Matthew S. Harmon. He is generally known as a professor of New Testament studies. And I just give a short quote of all of the stuff that he's written. And I quote, "When we talk about citizenship, we are at some level talking about our identity. Our citizenship plays a role in shaping who we are, what we value, what is important to us, and how we live. Since as believers, we are citizens of God's kingdom, that reality should shape the way that we live as sojourners and exiles in the world. End of quote. End of quote. So, my friends, what does it mean to live in this world as a citizen of God's kingdom? Imagine this. What would our world, our country, and our lives be like if we were faithful in obedience to the will of God in the same way that we uphold the laws of our country? What if our lives reflected biblical teachings in governance, in leadership, and in service to our country? I think that it's fair to say that there's some parallels between service to God and service to our country, and many attributes which apply equally to both. So what can we learn from today's scripture readings? These are very comprehensive readings, and I invite you, if you haven't yet done so, when you have a few minutes this week, read again, particularly the Old Testament reading from Kings and the Gospel reading. But a quick overview. From the first reading, it's about the healing of Naaman, a Syrian general. And this healing was done according to God's will through the prophet Elisha. We hear that when Naaman went to the king to seek his help, the king of Aram was clearly supportive. And from verse 5 of the Old Testament reading, we hear, "And the king of Aram said, 'Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel.'" How can civic leaders provide support to people in their care? Yes, the king of Aram sent a letter to the king of Israel in support of one of his people. How can we do that as civic leaders? Support. And faith leaders should not hesitate to emphasize publicly the importance of spirituality and faith in decision making. For when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. And I quote here from the book of Kings, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him," that is Naaman, "come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel, that he may learn of the presence of Almighty God, that he might learn of the servants of God." Yes, we must always be mindful of God's presence and the importance of divine guidance in the affairs of our country, in the affairs of our communities, and the obligations of the Christian church and other faith groups. And by extension, we must be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in all that we do. So from the Old Testament reading, we hear about Naaman's healing from leprosy and how his flesh was restored. And we also heard that initially he was quite reluctant, but eventually he was obedient and faithful in following the simple instructions of the prophet: wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. And you know, my friends, sometimes we tend to complicate things when we have the urgings or the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. We get very analytical, and I'm guilty of that. Wash and be clean. And this is what we are told. So Naaman went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, the prophet Elisha. Obedience. So as we celebrate our country, may we be reminded of our roles and responsibilities and the difference we can make in our society today. Because faith matters. Faith matters. And we must never overlook the opportunities to share the love of God with others. We might not be called to serve like the prophet Elisha, who was given specific gifts for spiritual leadership. We might not be in a position like the king of Aram, who exerted influence to get the best care for one of his people. But we all have the opportunity to serve others, like the young girl who was taken from Israel and whose willingness to tell others what she knew changed the course of Naaman's life. For this is what she said to her mistress: "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Can we do the same? Can we do the same and tell others how and where they could find help from God? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. But let us move on to Paul's letter to the Galatians, for here he's encouraging them and offering practical advice in showing concern for each other in the family of faith. He suggested that they should persevere in doing what is right. "So let us not grow weary," Paul wrote. "Whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all." And you recognize that as parts of verses 10, 9 and 10 of our second reading. So as a principle of Christian living, can we try our best to be like Christ and choose his merciful and forgiving attitude? Let us be careful with the choices that we make and ask God to bind us together as one church and one nation, because Christians should endeavor to live in harmony. But I think that we would have failed each other if we did not reflect for a few minutes on the gospel reading. Because this tells us about the choice of 70 disciples who were sent out on a mission to the world. They were commissioned to offer peace and healing as signs that the reign of God is near. We know that ambassadors to any country have an important role to represent their countries abroad and to build cordial relationships. And Christians, as ambassadors, could show who and whose we are and to build bridges with others who might not necessarily share our beliefs. Now, some people refer to this as evangelism. The commission to the 70 in Luke's gospel. And we are also commissioned to share God's message. And so today the message is that the kingdom of God has come near. And I like two other versions, and I would just mention them. From the Message Bible, this is what it says: "God's kingdom is right on our doorstep." Yes, when we walk along Yonge Street, we know that the mission field is right here. And there was a time that people went abroad to do missionary work. Our mission field is right here. The mission field is right here. And I dare say the mission field is also in our homes. The mission field is our homes. From the Good News Bible, we are told that the kingdom of God has come near you, has come near me. Yes, let us rise to the challenge of contributing in whatever way we can to make ourselves, to make our communities, to make our country and our world a reflection of God's kingdom. So as we pray for our world and the land of our birth or adoption, we give thanks to God for the opportunity to serve Him in this world as ambassadors for Christ. And so, my siblings, may God's peace be with you, and may we all share His message wherever we are. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Amen.